New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host Heather Henderson. You know Heather from Facebooks, on the interwebs, and in the alleyways. My guests today are Paul Provenza, Blaine Capatch, and Dana Gould. You know these guys from showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for saying we're in showbiz.
A nice place to stay for a little while. Showbiz.
And Dana's running a little late. He'll be here in just a few moments, apparently.
That's okay. When he comes in, he'll have already have the show done in his head, and it'll just come spewing out.
That is how he works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blaine.
Emery.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for buzzing me in.
I ran into you when you got me tickets to see that amazing show that you do.
Oh, the Blaine Capatch nude review?
No, Lucha Vavoom I was thinking of.
Oh, that
yes,
one.
Yes. You've sent me tickets to that other one, and I haven't come yet.
You got to start responding to your Evites or your Shevites.
I go every week.
I asked you backstage at that. I asked you if you were an atheist.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you again.
You know what? I'm an atheist in that I order my steaks medium well. I don't like them fully well done because I still like a little bit of blood in there, a mm-hmm. little bit of juice.
Mm-hmm. That means you love Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could I ask you a question, Blaine?
What's that, Paul?
What is it about atheism that is final to you? What is it that makes it well done?
I think it's atheists that make it final, isn't it?
Ooh. See, this is the thing.
I know it is the thing.
And I'm certainly not anti-atheist. I think.
What exactly is it about atheists that gives you that impression?
Is it? You know, I'm.
By the way, I'm Emery's attorney.
I want to say something about what Blaine said to me. He said something that he was tongue in cheek a little on this, but I think he was totally accurate. He goes, "I'm too smart not to be an atheist." He actually said that when I first asked him. That was his first sentence out of his mouth when I asked him, which is absolutely, I think, absolutely, probably, you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, accurate about how you feel about this. I mean, intellectually, you're right.
I'm not an atheist so much as an asterisk, I think.
What is it about atheism that you think you are not ascribing to?
Well, I think modern atheism.
If I may dangle
modern atheism, I think is just I think it's just a variation on another religion. It's a stance that people take because they only think that there's three, maybe four dimensions.
Interesting.
Well, first of all. Why does it could be an infinite number of dimensions?
Oh, there is.
I'm an atheist, and I don't only think that three or four dimensions is possible.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that that atheists are incapable of thinking in more dimensional.
I think that you ways. Have an impression of atheists that I don't know why it's such a common impression, but it's really unfair. And I posit that you actually are an atheist. You just have trouble accepting that label.
Oh, well I think that atheism is a rail against a belief in God, and so it assumes that there's a God to be denied, and I don't believe that there's any of that stuff to be denied. Sorry, we have a helicopter on the shot.
Can we hold? Everybody hold.
Hold for the helicopter.
I don't – it doesn't assume that assume is – that's the problem right there.
See, when you what, assume
let me define.
There's
oh, yeah.
something about
you know, I think you think of atheist with a capital A as it's some sort of like a you know a group as opposed to just the label for a way of thinking. And what atheism really is it's not one of the problems that I have when I talk to non-atheists. And this perspective that Blaine's expressing very similar is that they feel. That they believe that atheists are definitive that there is no God. Like that they have the answer that there is no God.
And that's not really what
atheism is.
Right.
What atheism is reason. Okay?
Of course.
And what it is it's not that there is no God. It's that reason has not dictated the belief in a God.
Well, hasn't confirmed. It's
not only hasn't confirmed, it's just it's unreasonable. It's without reason to believe that there is a God.
Sure.
Okay? That's not an answer about there is no God. There is no, that is not really part of the atheist worldview.
Well, you know
what really? I mean, we're talking in drive-by language here, usually about atheists. You know, of course, I say there's no God because I believe that there is no God. But really, what it is it simply is without reason for me to believe there is a God. Is there possibly a God? Yes. Is there possibly another planet in our solar system that has life? Yes. There's no reason for me to believe that it's visited here.
So is that agnosticism or is that atheism?
No, that is atheism.
Well, if the possibility that there is a God or any of that kind of stuff is still there, then isn't that asterism?
No, it's not. It's not a question. It's a different perspective. It's not looking for that answer. It's just saying at this point in time, my reason says that. You know, we don't know for a fact that the sun will rise tomorrow. We don't know that for a fact. But we say it with a reasonable amount of certainty.
I bet my bottom dollar that it would you?
Well, you know what? There's going to be a day.
There's going to be two of them.
two suns run away.
You know, but we're safe in saying, you know, saying it with certainty because it has every day since the beginning of time. And that's when we say there is no God. That's what we mean. But it doesn't mean that the sun won't rise tomorrow. That's possible. Who knows?
Now, we're going to pull Dana into this conversation, and welcome, Dana, to the show.
Hi.
Thanks for coming, Dana.
Sorry,
I'm
late.
He made it. L.A. traffic and all.
I knew God would get me here. Now, what's the topic?
Praise Allah.
I held the beginning of the show for Dana so that I could explain the rules to everybody.
First of all, let me just correct one thing.
Yes.
The sun doesn't rise. The earth sinks.
Nice. Nice. It's a galaxy rise. A couple of rules. Number one, as Ariane Shireen, the editor of my book, Atheist Guide to Christmas, once said, you can plug anything you want as long as you can work it into the conversation.
Oh, like new chocolate Visine makes everything look like chocolate.
That doesn't. Or atheists.
That, I don't like atheists. It's got to make them look like atheists.
Oh, okay.
Rule number two: if you're a listener who's ever been offended, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. Cunt, spick, nigger, faggot, cotton picking, finger licking, baby raping, cock sucking, Christ hard, freakazoid with AIDS. That should send them right.
Yeah, freakazoid. I never.
And other poems.
And so that's the layout of the show. You guys say anything you want. We're talking about religion. We're talking about atheism. And before you got here, I had asked Mr. Patch whether he was an atheist or not.
Blaine Cabbage.
Cabbage Patch.
And Provenza, and he squared off to discuss the significance of calling yourself an atheist or not.
Oh, I might fit right in the middle of this.
I have a feeling you might.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about this. But yeah. But I just was really, my process was explaining to Blaine that perhaps his assumption of what atheist is was not necessarily accurate.
Well, right. And can I say this, that that everybody seems to have a different definition of atheist? Like everybody has a different definition of whatever their God is.
You know
is.
Who doesn't have a different definition of atheist usually? For the most
dictionary?
Part? Atheists.
Okay.
Most atheists agree on what we think of ourselves as and how we present ourselves.
And how would you present that?
Well, for me, an atheist, he was talking about the shorthand of the language. I mean, when we say we don't believe in a God, it's not a belief system, number one. We're using a word that actually belies something that's not really happening.
And it's not saying there is no God. We know this for a fact.
That's good.
What it is saying we don't believe it. Our reason does not allow us to believe that there is a God. It's not saying there is no God.
And listen, you know, you show up with God in your pocket. Bring him out. Show him to me. Let me know. Prove it to me that this is the God, and I will get on my knees and worship. But I need proof.
Also, I want to know what else.
So let me just get this correct.
I get on my knees and worship.
I take something out of my pocket, tell you it's God, and you get on your knees and worship.
That's pretty much how it's been all along. Yeah.
Count me in. I'm an atheist.
Where's the whistle?
Oh, mighty certs.
That has always been.
Dana, what other aspects of your world or reality or mind would you apply the same sort of leeway to? Like, what else are you willing to accept besides a belief in God? What else are you willing to just go, I heard about a dog flying once.
Well, it's funny you say dog, because this is my this is how I define my my. I think we're on the exact same page. I feel that people who are, there is absolutely no God, there's only what you can see, they, to me, are as narrow-minded as there's a God, he has a long white beard, he's going to come back on a horse in May. My dog cannot conceive of my computer. I could never make my dog understand how my computer works, what it is, how it's manufactured. Doesn't mean to my dog my computer doesn't exist. You know, the fact that this is a being that is alive and is on the planet and there's something that exists that is completely beyond its comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
That, to that end, I also believe that there's...
First of all, Dana,
there's
a big difference between dogs and us.
Yes, but what I'm saying is but that's also the assumption that, and there could certainly never be anything beyond us. I don't.
But that's not implicit in the notion of atheist without God.
No.
Okay, that's not implicit in it. We have no idea. Physics is essentially really what, I mean, if you look at the processes of physics, we sit there and
we're vigorously agreeing with each other.
That's exactly the point, though. I'm particularly interested in, I sort of hijacked where Emery was going with this. I'm sorry. But,
no, take it.
I'm particularly interested in why people who are so clearly atheists, to an atheist, I look at it and I go, it's an atheist, right? People who so clearly live their lives by reason, thought, intelligence, you know, they're aware, they're educated. There's nothing else in your life that you know, you're not going to be number one to be sending checks to Nigeria, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not that kind of guy. So why do people just not want to embrace identifying as atheists? That's what fascinates me.
And I want to go ahead, Heather.
Well, they're afraid of dying. That's why.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, there's a lot of it. There's a lot involved there.
Well, everybody's afraid of dying.
Yeah.
No, I'm not afraid.
Lucky for you. Because,
I think the English beats it at best. Being dead don't hurt. It's only dying.
That's true.
I will be I feel that I'm as terrified of dying as I was terrified before I was born.
Yeah. I've always thought that when you die, it's exactly like it was before you were born. It's non-existence, and you don't even know.
Yeah. Well, if you have an afterlife, where's your before life?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it could be. I mean,
and do cavemen speak English up there? And does Toadie Fields have her leg back, or does her leg have a whole different Toadie Fields on it?
What if Abe Lincoln is fucking Marilyn Monroe, and then Mary Todd?
And Hitler was bionic.
Mary Todd was in purgatory because she made fun of a retard, and we never heard about it. And then she comes back, but Abe and Marilyn Monroe are on it. Yeah, like, I don't.
But you see, as an atheist, I can tell you the answer to every one of those questions.
That's because you know everything.
I know it all.
But Dana, what you're suggesting is that mankind, and I want to take exception with your analogy, is that mankind might not be smart enough, big enough, big-brained enough to understand, to comprehend this God that we're talking about. Was that your suggestion?
No, because you have in your mind a predisposed vision of God as a finite thing. What I'm saying is it is not impossible that something beyond our comprehension exists.
Well, No one would disagree in this room with that.
I don't know. That's exactly what I meant.
I don't
Why
know.
Must we agree all the time?
Here's my, so, go my to my problem. Room. My problem with the head of that pin that you're dancing on, though, is this. It's that the idea that we're not able to comprehend God is a biblical idea. And so I think that we're capable of virtually anything.
I comprehend Rick Shapiro.
Well, look, I think just so we're clear,
we're also capable of lying.
You know,
go
all,
ahead.
All religion,
yeah,
is a sham.
Bullshit.
It's just a way that the landowners control people.
Okay, and
Napoleon said, "Religion is what keeps the poor from killing the rich."
That's exactly.
That's
right.
Exactly what it
That's
is.
Exactly.
You know, when I was a child, and I would go to church. Well, I wouldn't go to church. I would be taken to church by my parents, okay. And I would sit in the back and I'd read Ripley's Believe It or Not books.
How ironic!
Yeah.
And I'd eat wintergreen lifesavers, which also have a hole in the middle that nobody can explain.
And light comes out of them when you bite them.
Yeah, but I would always see the adults getting up to pray and worship, and I remember even as a little kid thinking, I'm so embarrassed for these people.
Right.
They're worshiping something, and then they get in, they're allowed to drive, and I'm not allowed to drive? These people are believing in this weird thing, and... It was they were obviously paying lip service to something, and as soon as they got into the parking lot, it was all fuck this and I hate this and let's get home.
My mother has the worst relationship with God in the sense that God helps her frost cakes.
She gives it to him every time.
Believe me, God has come down from heaven and found more than one missing flip flop. I grew up around that.
Right.
But she takes such comfort in it.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't want to
take it away from her.
I wouldn't want to take it away.
I'm going to tell you a story about my mom. I took it away from her, I think. At least those are her words. I didn't. She did. Her brain did. Before we do that story, I want to say this. You're listening to Ardent Atheists on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode sponsored in part by a sense of well-being. Okay, the story is this.
Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
So my mom is an atheist at 64 years old and has only been an atheist now for a couple of years.
Right.
She was an agnostic for about...
But is your mom, like my mom, crazy as a shithouse rat?
Yes. She really... My mom is definitely uncentered, to be sure, and she let go very begrudgingly. Well... She had become an atheist after many, many hours of discussion with me on the phone. I got her to look online. I got her to go look at Hitchens and Dawkins, and she was open, of course. I didn't force her.
My mother and I have had many hours of discussions, but it's all about her knee.
Well, so what ended up happening was one day a horrific thing happened where she lived. The woman she lives with, a mildly retarded or mentally deficient little girl.
We call them teabaggers.
A teabagger had actually been abducted and taken
by aliens.
By an asshole who was planning to use hers. And so mom called me.
Oh.
Really, it was horrifying. Mom called me in tears, and she literally said to me, "You took my ability to pray away." And so for the next 20, 30 minutes, my wife and I were on the phone with mom, and we said, well, let's show you what atheists do in this situation, because prayer doesn't help. And so what we did was we got online. We looked for it was as little as we could do. We would have done more if we could, but all we could think to do was we got mom in the car, and we started navigating her to known sex offenders' houses. And she literally was pulling up to houses and honking, I don't remember the little girl's name, Ashley, whatever it was. We'll call her Megan Conca. Let Megan go! And so my mom was actively trying to do something that might have a positive effect. At the end of the day, there's
How
no
did
reason.
Megan feel about this?
Megan feels no more. Megan Conca. This little girl showed back up. The guy dropped her off. He had fondled her is what had happened. And that was the extent of it. But... at the end of the day, I showed mom that action is what you need, not empty prayer.
Action's louder than words.
Yeah. That's and she understood.
Well, you know, again, ironically, you are the Christ figure in this story.
I am not the Christ figure in this
Nailed
story.
Nailed it.
Well, you know,
you did.
But, you know,
you lived the deed.
Right. But as George Carlin pointed out, if your mother was devoutly religious, you could just go, Mom, clearly it's a part of God's plan. Kick it out.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, well,
right.
It's a divine plan.
Well, here's the thing that people don't often talk about. You know, you're right. You don't want to take comfort away, whatever. There is a certain real sort of like cynicism to that, but that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, you don't want to take away her comfort. I can tell you this, that if my mom did not have religion, then she would have had to necessarily go inward just a fraction of an inch and not have spent her whole life looking to be a martyr for her reward.
Right.
And if I thought my
and being profoundly, miserably unhappy because she had this religious perspective.
Yes, but what I will say to your point is if I believe that there was a fraction of the ability to pull that off, you know what I mean? It's like, I believe that they're operating.
That's why I went after it. There was a fraction.
Yeah. See, my parents are operating on all cylinders.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right, our next topic, gentlemen.
They're doing their best, which speaks poorly of their definition of
Hey, can I?
Well, I don't think most people are going to get their parents
through
this.
The bar is pretty low.
Blaine,
is low.
Can I just say this about prayer? And this is as topical as these headlines. is this whole Senator Giffords thing. She was shot in the head by a guy, and she's making a miraculous recovery. And sorry, I didn't mean to use the word miraculous.
Mm-hmm,
but she's somebody today said, oh, God, it is answering our prayers, and she's recovering faster. And it just occurred – it's like
– faster.
So I guess what you have to do is constantly spend every moment of your day praying to God to not have a loved one shot in the head.
That's exactly right.
Because he didn't listen to any prayers until this woman was shot in the head and a little girl was killed.
Right. Well, no one prayed for the little girl. No one prayed for that little girl.
That's my problem. Every time somebody has a mud slide take their house out, there's one asshole down the street going, we barely missed it. God must be watching out for us. There's no mathematics being used.
And God said, fuck the guys
here,
up the street.
Fuck that guy. Well, he cares about you.
The classic is the two football teams.
Yeah. Can you prove a negative? You can't prove a negative is said by atheists, and it's said by religious people. And I, for one, I'm kind of sick of it. I'm sick and tired of people using this particular phraseology because it's not being applied accurately. And before I get into that, Provenza, what are your thoughts on this? You can't prove a negative. You and I have had a conversation about this before.
You know what? I'm not really facile with the appropriate language and the symbolic logic in all of this, but I'm really bad at explaining this one. I'm also
facile, and you roped us in with that, and then it went nowhere.
I was wrapped.
I'm also I'm very bad at explaining the phrase begs the question. That's another one that I know it when I see it. It's like porno. I know it when I see it, but
here's
really
my problem.
I usually do that in bars. My pants beg the question: why aren't they on the floor?
There's a scientific approach that says you can't prove a negative, and in science and logic they apply it in this way. If somebody offers a theory, if you can't test it, if it's untestable, then the sentence is you can't prove a negative. And what it means, it doesn't mean you might be right, your God might exist. It means stop wasting our fucking time. That's what it means.
See, that's actually this actually puts the lie a little bit to your thoughts about what atheists believe, Dana, because it's you can't prove a negative, meaning you can't prove that there's not an alien living amongst us.
That's where it goes with everybody.
So, and then it becomes the question. Then becomes, well, is it reasonable to believe that or not? You know. So, but the point is, you can't prove what is, and I can't prove to you that there's not a flying spaghetti monster that's ruling over all of us.
Well,
you
I would take it
can't
to this.
Prove a statement that isn't a positive.
But prevents you.
I don't see how that puts a lie to what I said. All I said was, I don't believe that human beings are the possessors of all the knowledge in the universe.
Yet. Well, I mean, at what point are you
going
to be impressed
by... You've never spoken to my mom.
You said smoking with? At what point are you going to be impressed with what mankind is capable of, honestly? I mean, really.
I'm profoundly impressed with what mankind is capable.
But why are you assuming that that's the perspective? Most atheists I know are generally either in the field of science or they are interested in science, and they all watch Mythbusters.
Yeah, I don't think that there's...
I'm just saying that they don't have any that arrogance of they know all there is to know. What they're saying is, I'm just not going to believe a lot of the stuff that other people are believing.
I don't know anymore. I don't believe, but you're attributing... you're assuming that I do. I don't.
That's what I'm telling you.
I am an atheist. I didn't deny being an atheist. What I said was I am an atheist. I am not somebody who says, I know for a fact there's no God. When you're dead, it's blackness.
And that was the original argument between our discussion between Blaine and Prevenz, and that is that atheists aren't saying that. Atheists are saying that there's no reason to believe any of the religious bullshit that we're told. And
we're
the,
all in, as I said
again,
before,
we're all in agreement.
We're all in loud.
Well, not necessarily because Blaine well,
just doesn't
you like,
get it.
You like, I think, if I heard you right the night we spoke about this, you like the majesty of the universe, and you are quite amazed by it. To the degree that I think that you might even be able to call yourself a deist. In other words, something had to make these things happen in your mind. Is that how you feel about it?
I would feel that it would be – I don't know if I want to use the term hubristic. But to look around and look at everything and go, this was here all the time. All these – the harmony of natural laws, the way everything is balanced. It all happened completely randomly. It all evolved, and everything was always here, and it always will be here, and nothing created it. But I also think that any god that set this in motion would have, especially one that people feel that they have to worship, would have made a big deal out of making of presenting himself at this
very
point.
Thomas Jefferson of you. And if you owned slaves, I'm sure you'd sleep with them. But here's
but here's the thing too. It's like I have more faith in mankind. Because I'm look at my iPhone. I mean, I can get you know maybe 3 bars in here, but that's more bars than I had than my grandfather had in here. but when I look at reality, I have one sideburn that's complete, and I have another sideburn that has a huge gap in it, and that says to me there's no God that cares.
Okay,
I'm serious.
I know you're serious. I know you're serious. This is deistic viewpoint. In other words, a god that might a god seemingly had to put everything in action and then just went off and doesn't give a shit.
Can I go to my digression for a second?
Yeah, I'll come back to mine.
You said you know about it. This didn't all just get here randomly.
It's not random.
It's not random.
Not at all.
Well, here's the other thing is too. Like when I was younger and I was I guess a teenager or something, I started to think to myself, if there's a god.
Yeah.
And it's always if.
Yeah.
If there's a God, then he's math. Because math is what everything is based on.
You're the first person I've ever heard say anything.
Everything is math.
I've been thinking this for so long, and it makes me so angry that I didn't study
verbalize
math.
It.
Or verbally. I had no math or verbal skills. Yeah, no, seriously, because I think now, you know what? I think that I would be like one of those like freakazoids who's just writing formulas all day if I could do that kind of thing, because that's the kind of pull it has for me. In those terms, I always felt like if you want God, fits all the criteria.
Yeah,
unseen, you know, all the magical powers and all that sort of stuff. It's all mathematics.
It's all math.
Yeah,
and if that's you know, is it a thought process or is it just the way things are?
And he loves you.
Yeah,
math loves you.
Yeah, math loves you.
And he cares, and math cares if you masturbate.
Yeah. Yeah, math kills a kitten.
Or if your penis is cut off or not.
So math never needs money.
My math needs money.
So that's the asterisk to me is there's everything going on, and I know there's no God, and I know it's all bullshit, and I know religion is for the intellectually weak. But in the back of my head, there's that. This is so gorgeous.
But you don't live with a God. I mean, a God is a specific.
So I certainly don't.
You know,
I live with the devil and polyester.
You know, so you're atheist. There is no asterisk there.
I'm not
trying to be argumentative.
No.
I know that I'm responsible for this as well. But atheists tend to suffer from what I'm doing to you, which is just sort of like, you know, badgering you and painting you into a corner and trying to force you to just admit what I'm suggesting. But I'm right.
So here's a question I've never. Do you believe that Jesus existed? And was he just a profoundly unlucky dude?
I'm indifferent to whether or not he existed. I don't have a belief about that. Mm-hmm. I don't even have an opinion about that. I honestly don't. I'm completely indifferent to that. I think
it's
possible.
But to have had such a profound effect on civilization, he's certainly worthy of contemplation.
Oh, I've contemplated it, I suppose I should say. In fact, I used to be a Bible-thumping Christ-heart. I was I preached the word.
When I would say Zeus had equally as profound.
Exactly. That's
and
exactly
Allah
it.
And Allah and Huelhauser. I mean, there were a lot of
no, but important. I make the Zeus reference because you really there's really nobody that believes in Zeus or worships Zeus right. to this day.
And yet, I have
so
a ninth
he's
level
still
elf.
Worthy of contemplation.
But so yeah. Well, no, I don't know for that very fact that so much of Western civilization is based on a form of Christendom.
There have been 2,000 gods yeah. come and go plus, come right. and go plus. No, so
all I'm saying is he's not – all I'm saying is I believe that he was a guy.
Yeah. Okay. Who, yeah, what do you think?
I believe that he was either a brilliant story that someone wrote
uh-huh.
or a seemingly decent guy that was probably delusional and got fucked.
Okay.
And his friends decided to build a mythology around him, and people found that mythology...
You and I agree.
Adhering to that mythology gave them a lot of power over
yeah.
people.
Yeah, yes. And well, they used also, that power.
I mean, historically...
Gandhi is the most current version of Jesus, based on what you're describing, and I've had that thought before.
Yeah.
I think they might make Gandhi into a Christ figure eventually.
But
yeah,
here's the thing about the historical record. It's slight, but also it's pretty well believed that there were a lot of messiahs running around. You know, it was yeah. a tribal city state kind you mm-hmm. know kind of thing, and people
yeah,
moving
Jesus
from
Smith
village to village, and there was
in several
but there
every
were
team
also,
has a quarterback.
But there were also people walking around trying to get followings. Mm-hmm. It was like you know. Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on people's doors was going on a lot.
Or, you know, setting up a Facebook fan page for yourself.
It's possible it's possible that he's a composite.
Yeah.
Right.
And all
yeah.
that kind of sort of...
Well, it's been said that Jesus was just the one with the better agent.
Yeah, right.
That's the one right. I've heard. Jesus, now, let me... real quickly,
the one that had Disney had trademarked.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissonant Radio, also available on the iTunes Store. Today's show is brought to you by the letters W, T, and F. And the number 2.1 billion Christians can be wrong. Okay, guys, back to it.
What is also interesting is this conversation in several parts of this sophisticated country would get us shot.
Yeah, I was at the CRAM, the Southeast Regional Atheist Conference in Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that question came up a lot because people were like, you know, I could actually lose my job and have to,
yeah.
you know, move to my mother's house with my three kids. If yeah. I come out as atheist, is yeah. you know they play Christian music all day long in the office and all yeah. this and all that, and yeah, we forget though that you know it is really an issue in people's
atheism
lives.
Is a choice,
it's
Paul.
Really, it's really an oppressive.
It's not. It's a lifestyle yeah. choice.
Well, now you know. Sometimes I feel like we should never ever.
No guy running for president. Yeah. No one will be elected president, and certainly in our lifetime.
Who's an atheist?
This is I'm an atheist. But
I think we atheists should be very careful not to unnecessarily.
But the guy that believes in the magic monkeys, he gets elected.
That's right. The guy that gets in. Pants. Walked yeah. right on your day. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, here in the 21st century, we call Mormons Scientologists.
That is true.
Our next topic. Go ahead.
And nobody will even say. And I don't know why a. reporter doesn't say this because that's such an easy bridge to get these people out.
Yeah.
Do you believe in a God smart enough to use evolution to create man?
Right.
Which is such a beautiful dodge.
Yeah.
And they won't even go there.
Right. Well, I think it's sad that's true, but that's absolutely the way it is. Our country and indeed the world. I mean, Uganda, they want to kill gay people, and it's all about God. It's all about religion.
Is it all gay people or just the specific ones? Because some of them are really annoying.
They're trying to pass a law. Do you know about this Ugandan law?
Are
you
aware of that?
Insanity.
Gay people and people, friends, family, relatives, people who may be hiding someone who
they
is gay.
They want to arrest them. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. They can be put in jail for just not...
And these are black people.
People in.
That's
but isn't that where all that stuff is that they like? Huh? What the hell?
This is the shittiest video game ever.
What are you playing?
He's playing Dymo Label.
So here's the question. The question is, do you think atheists should proselytize? I mean, I've been accused of being ardent. I've been accused of being as bad as the worst... religious zealots, because I talk so aggressively about atheism and the idea that there's no God. What do you think?
I always prefer when people keep their ridiculous superstitious beliefs to themselves. Yeah. So I have a bigger problem with anybody talking about God than people talking about atheism. When people talk about atheism, it's usually I'll listen for a few minutes and decide if they're some sort of libertarian that's trying to get laid, or if they're just saying something to get out of a religious conversation. You know, right. You can, you know, a couple of lines in, you know what you're talking about. And I'm very good at changing the subject to Swiffer. When you don't really feel like cleaning, don't really clean anything with Swiffer.
Can we just take a few minutes to talk about the death of ventriloquism in this country?
I don't know what you're talking about, but all right.
Here, Dana, why don't you tell them all about it while I drink this glass of water?
Well, and the lead.
Hey, you two, don't fight.
You're going back into box, Gould.
Oh, hey, come on now.
Don't say that to these nice people.
Come on now.
You're going back in a box.
Come on now.
Otto and George right here.
Let me twist your leg around again.
Don't put me in the docks. Otto and George, very nice.
Otto and George, the aristocrats, if you will.
Is he? Are they? Is they alive?
They're both.
Yeah. Well, one of
my
them
favorite
is.
Story about Otto and George. I think
Otto
I might ask Provenza to tell the story.
Otto is the person, by the way. That's the
right. That's the weirdest
that's
part.
The really
George
funny
is the dummy. Yeah. But I don't know. The dummy smokes the crack.
Did you ever speak? Oh, sorry. Here's a quick religion thing with Otto and George. There's a clip of them on YouTube. And George the puppet is having a dream where he's blowing Jesus, and he has this little Jesus puppet, and he pulls his pants down and has a little wooden penis, and then he starts doing something else, and it's a really realistic penis all of a sudden, and then it squirts all over George, and he goes, "God damn, that was really gay! How gay was that?" He's so wonderful.
You know, I worked with him when I was
so
18.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Profound formative experience.
Well, you know the story of this is that Penn always says this is the mark of a genius in ventriloquism. This is like, this is it. Is that he was working Washington Square Park. And you guys all know this story.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right.
Anyway. Pat and I wrote
tell the story. The listeners don't know it. What are you doing?
Your listeners aren't listening.
Otto, by the way, Otto and George is a triple X-rated ventriloquist act that's horribly filthy and legendary from New York City.
Yeah. You look like you comb your hair with a cock.
Yeah, that's right. He's in the Aristocrats. Yeah. Also very
and
funny.
Not just... vile. Racist.
Yeah, racist. Yeah.
I'm going to
devein
your cock with a clam knife.
I'm writing a book about Martin Luther King, George Washington Carver, and I forget who the other one was. What's it called? Three niggas.
Yeah. He does his impression of John F. Kennedy and just flings his head forward and the top of it flies off.
Tell the story, Provenza.
Yeah. So he was working in the park, and this interracial couple walked by, and all of a sudden, started to be a lot about that. And it was like, oh, look at something escaped from the zoo, a zebra, jokes like that, and he wouldn't let up on the couple, and the guy was like, I'm telling you, man, you better knock that shit off right now. And he did another one, and the guy pulls out a knife and stabs the dummy 5 times.
Oh, that's just great.
The who's the dummy in this picture?
That's good. That's ventriloquist.
That's a great ventriloquist.
Yeah, he couldn't work though for like 3 months. His hand was all bandaged.
Oh, he got stabbed?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. I always imagined he got away with unscathed.
That same guy ran over Farfel.
Speaking of Kukla Friend and Allah, let's get back to the
topic at hand. All right, we're going to move on to the the proselytize, should we be proselytizing, or are we? Is that an accurate interpretation of what we do?
I don't, the word proselytize is
religious specifically, right?
Well, I don't know that, actually. It's a good question. But it's not really, I don't look at atheism as an ideology.
Yeah.
Atheism is just, I also don't believe in the tooth fairy. There's no label for that. I don't believe in,
But we're not
Santa
spending
Claus.
A lot of time and effort in doing a radio show telling people that the tooth fairy isn't leaving you quarters.
The only people listening to this are atheists.
I think that Bill Maher and George, the late George Carlin, did their share of proselytizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not so much saying.
And I think,
you know,
to
but
put
it's
it
not
in.
The same. It's not the same to say, you know, the way you're looking at the world is, you know, illogical, irrational, and destructive. That's not the same as saying, "Hey, come look at the world the way I look at the world."
Right.
You know, I think that you can't really. It's. I think proselytizing for atheism would be like going up, "Hey, you like the Beatles? They were terrible, and here's why. This is everything you love is wrong.
Right.
And wrong. Wrong. Wrong." I think the best way to proselytize atheism is to just let these generations die off.
Well, that's
what all
I think
that's going to happen. It's just going to be like it's going to be an intellectual process of evolution.
Well, that's. Am I the only one here with kids?
No, I have a daughter.
How old is your daughter?
26 now.
Okay, so when she was a child, you were Christian.
No, I wasn't. I was a Christian as a teen kid. That was
how
it.
Did
but
you handle
this isn't a fair discussion. I was absentee for a lot of that time.
Excuse me. You were Christian as a smooth, hairless young teen.
Yeah.
My kids are
put eight, that away.
My kids are 8, 6, and 1.
Okay.
And my wife and I have the my wife and I are both atheists, and we have the trick. We want them to have, we were surrounded with Catholics. My wife's family lives near all. Right around us are all Catholics. And we have a problem on Christmas because we want them to have all the everything, you know, emotionally.
Right.
And they will say, like, and we'll be like, you know, Santa's coming, you know, and he's got to be a good girl. He's got his list. He's, you know, he's going to come down the chimney. And then they'll be like, yeah, and Olivia says that it's Jesus' birthday and that Santa is – must be friends with God because Christmas is Jesus' birthday. But yeah, that's more of a myth. But Santa's going to be on the roof. Jesus is more of an idea about people. Yeah.
Well, are the older
how
kids
you should act. But the sleigh, listen for that sleigh on the roof.
What are the ages again?
8, 6, and 1.
And is the 8-year-old piecing anything together yet?
She's canny. I think she's busted us on the
Well,
thing.
Just don't ask.
I think she knows about the tooth fairy, but she's still taking the money.
Well, I would. Come on.
Yeah. But we
listen,
you know,
kids will believe anything you tell them not to believe.
Nice. Well, you know, Penn says that if you want someone to not to become an atheist, have them read the Bible. I mean, the idea.
Well, there's no question that my having gone to Catholic school in my early days definitely
played a role.
Has a lot to do with it, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's. As did I. And it's. So it's you have to be retarded to not pick it up, to not be like the most judgmental, loveless people.
Right.
Are the people handing out all the love. it's not worth bringing up. It's like fish in a barrel.
Right.
It's
right.
You know,
you're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is made possible by the Old Testament in association with the Quran. I fucked that line. Well, I don't think it's proselytizing. I think
because
that's
of the Quran's
the right word,
promise that martyrs get 72 virgins. 9/11 is the ultimate example of what a guy will do to get laid.
Wait a second. Well, what if I was the one who was throwing myself into a building via plane? And what do I get exactly?
Maybe virgin.
Yeah. You know, they don't specify
virgin
gender.
Terrorist men. Yeah. They
don't
that, do
in
that.
The
well,
72
actually,
virgins.
I think, isn't it that
you get to go
women,
to Elton John's boy garden.
Women get to serve their husbands.
When you hear
the
your family.
Their...
Where you get off and cut off your slossen.
I like to imagine that you're right. They don't specify gender. And when those guys got there, it's a bunch of little boys. That's,
well, you know,
that's what I like.
That's very. That's a big part of... of the culture over there.
Well, what you if know, they're virgins because they don't have vaginas?
Yeah, I will say this.
Snap.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Hey,
let's hope they have mouths
or behinds.
Behinds.
So it's like a bait and switch. It's like a mattress store telling you we'll throw in a free bed frame, and it's like a used bed frame.
You think they were pissed when they drove those planes into those buildings?
The old joke is that you know, and then you get to heaven, you find out why they're virgins. Hello.
You know what, Paul?
You did a very nice job with that airplane. My name is Gert. I'm from Paramus.
Gert.
I would like to see your claw.
That's okay, Gert.
This is my sister, Ida. And my sister, Eva.
John, I'm not sure.
My brother, my dad, my three aunts. Ida, Eva, and Gert in heaven. Coming on to Muhammad Atta. Nice. But there is, you know, there is something... that is, you know, it's frustrating that those guys aren't being punished.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, no, they stop.
They're not, on a spit.
Yeah. They're just dead and they don't know anymore. You know, there's no punishment involved. Yeah.
So that's really, I mean, at the end of the day,
unless they,
it's like being born again.
The plane hits and then their eyes snap open and they're handcuffed to the chairs at the Carrot Top show. And
like, no! So you do believe in a hell?
They're at the Ice Capade.
Prove Carrot Top exists, I dare you.
Well, what do you guys think about what I do on my Facebook page? I mean.
Well, have you guys seen?
I haven't
the
been there
page?
In a while.
Heather has a Facebook
wall. I've pulled myself off of that for a little while.
It sucks you in, doesn't it?
You have to. When people are like, you're very busy. You don't have time to answer 500 responses.
Yeah, that's what we. Yeah,
I'm back to Friendster because I'm retro.
Friendster. I went to my MySpace.
Back to classics.
I went to my MySpace and my background image is a bunch of cobwebs now. I like that. But
it's my sonogram is my picture.
Is it really?
When you go to MySpace, it should just have the sound effect of an old 78.
It's like I'm trying to remember which cat was alive for my password.
Right. Okay.
What pages load? You hear gears shifting. That's hilarious.
That's awesome. Well, I think that.
What are you doing? Tell me what you do on your Facebook page.
Oh,
Heather.
Oh, I ask questions. Uh-huh. I ask just open.
Like metaphor. Like.
Well,
give an example.
Okay, I'll.
Would you
the way she does it is
or
brilliant.
Your wife go blind, that sort of thing.
No, always religious in nature. And the thing that she does is she's got 4,000 friends plus.
Yeah, but they're not her real friends.
They're not at all. They're not at all.
A lot of them are just work friends.
Well.
Nothing happened.
She's a musician, and she's got this kind of following, and so it's filled up with all these folks. And she's got everybody. I mean, from around the world, actually. There are. She has Muslims and Christians and non-believers and the whole gamut is there. Uh-huh. So she poses these questions on her wall that just draws everybody in. And the next thing you know, there's a lot of atheists. The atheists dominate the wall. But every once in a while, you get these spots of religious believers, whether it be Muslim or Christian or some variation, and they start arguing really vehemently. And it's really fun and it's really amazing. Like an example question.
The last update was... What are the minimum requirements that you must meet to be considered a true Christian, and how many true Christians exist? And so far we have 19 comments, but I'll go back to one that...
Well, what ends up happening is there's like 200, 300 long discussions and arguments. It's really fun. It's really amazing what happens up there. But they don't think she's proselytizing.
What's your Twitter like?
Because she...
My Twitter's pretty dead, actually. I have to spend
her Twitter tastes time. Great.
Wait a second. You've misunderstood me.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
But it's what's brilliant is these folks kind of get sucked in. They think she's really posing questions. They don't think that she's like, you know, a strident atheist arguing these points so much.
Right.
Because
sure.
I don't know if it's because
they don't get the irony
of it. That's the thing is I don't you know, to get back to your question about proselytizing, I used to be really I used to like to get into arguments.
Yeah.
Now the only actually it's funny, but the only argument, not arguments, but the only actual like real back and forth that I get into is why somebody has a problem identifying as atheist, or why somebody has a problem with atheists or atheism.
I think that you thought that I was not identifying as an atheist.
Well, we've had this conversation before.
The Satiristas, you actually
even
bring this up.
That's right. And you even brought up that, or maybe it was Maron brought up that Charles Darwin doesn't even say he's 100% on the scale.
I think that's because of the misconception in the public of the definition of atheist. I think that's why.
Yes, yeah. That's what I believe. So yeah. that was always a continuation of that. But now, where was I going with this? Yeah. So I used to get, you know, into heated debates like this and kind of enjoy... Kind of watching people
squirm,
you know,
right.
sizzle there. But I don't, and I haven't enjoyed that kind of thing in quite a long time. But I find that a lot of people will ask me about it because I think I'm just sort of perhaps living by example. I mean, I can tell you that Penn was somebody who did that very much for me. Penn just living by example was very, really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a voice. He's a major voice.
And for Penn, it was Randy. You know, the example that Randy, Amazing Randy set, right? For him was a big factor. But so that's what I think it is. It's just, you know, people will come to a lot of times bring it up with me.
Yeah. So you really don't want to do what Penn really does. Like, he's got Penn Point, and he spends not all of his time. He spends a lot of time talking about atheistic ideas and that sort of thing there.
I have no problem doing that, but my objective would – I mean – So you consider that proselytizing?
No, I don't. I really don't think any of it's proselytizing, to wrap up my point, and that is, it's not proselytizing when it's not a faith. There's no faith involved. It's just reason. It's no different than a scientist going on TV and going, hey, guys, just for the record, there's not going to be two suns in the sky when Beetlejuice goes. It's going to just be bright for a couple of weeks,
right, and
the stuff coming through. So we're just trying to offer some information to people, and I think that religion is harmful, and that's what motivates me.
What I do try and proselytize about, though, to use the word, is critical thinking.
Yeah.
I often will talk about critical thinking.
Well, that's a really smart thing, and I'd like to see you in the public do more of that. But the more guys like Penn, yourself, and Randy, the more effort that's made, the better the world becomes, period. That's how I feel about it.
And here's the way of the day. And one of the great problems with the obvious negative effects of climate change.
Yeah.
People use religion as an excuse to not do anything because it's hard.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a story today about these islands, this archipelago, and it's a chain of islands. And
it's in India, right?
Yeah, and some of them are submerging. Did you hear that too?
Yeah, and it was apparently a huge land bridge back when Vishnu or something was going on, or whatever the big hero is. I can't remember the hero.
Right.
And
so it has some religious significance.
It also has historical significance that's become religious over time.
Okay. And it's slowly sinking. And if, as scientists predict, the ocean rises 3 feet, they'll all be gone.
Right.
But the guy on the island, the president, I believe, of the country, says that it won't happen because in the story of Noah, God said he wouldn't do this again.
Wow.
Yeah. Dad also said he wasn't going to come home drunk again.
Right.
They just make it up as they go.
Well, that's the thing about...
This was the guy that had, under Bush, the guy that headed the... It was the Energy Commission or his excuse was, God is still up there.
Well, that's why it's a problem.
That's where you go, you know what? This shit's going
to
cease.
Well, that's why I have to keep asking questions on my Facebook page. And people think that I'm an atheist, but I'm proselytizing. No, I'm asking questions because I want to know. I want people to think about it. You know what I'm saying? I want people to open up and go,
wait. But that's not really why he says that. He says that because he's getting money from oil companies.
Right.
So you're pretty cynical about the whole politics and all that. I mean, you think that they're just using these things, this religious bullshit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't believe
Here's a great story Howard Dean told me. True.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh. Otto and George. We were all working in Burlingame.
I'm fucking this chick.
I'm wrapped.
No, we did real time together.
Okay.
And we were talking later. And he goes, you know, I like Bush. When he was a governor, we were on the same governor. Some group
governors
of governors.
Club.
Well, something, yeah.
They had a band. They had a rock
governors
band.
Governors on Long Island. and he goes, I was very surprised, but, you know, the religious right was part of his constituency.
Uh-huh.
And there was a time when he nominated Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court,
right. Mm-hmm.
And the religious right got very up in arms. And Dean was in his company at some sort of reception or something because I knew him. I liked him. And I went up to him and I said, you know, it looks like you're getting some grief from your friends on the Christian right. And he just turned to me and he went, I hate those people. And I believe he does. I believe it is all that stuff.
I believe that there are a few.
He went to visit our – let me just say two things about him. And, this is beating a dead horse. All the brush that he cleared on his ranch was put there the week before he got there. And everyone knows this. This isn't hidden. When he went to visit the troops in Iraq for Thanksgiving, he had a plastic turkey. That was a very common fact. Everyone knew. It was a fake turkey that he walked out with because it was a photo op. I mean, they were all about the images, and they don't care. I mean,
it's Hollywood.
But if Obama wants somebody with a plastic turkey,
They would eat him alive. Yeah, they would.
That was a plastic. Anyway, that was a plastic turkey. It wasn't a real turkey. Because like, yeah, he was holding. It was like metal arc lemon. He was spinning the turkey. But it was just, you know, they were that cynical about it.
Well, you know what? They're also saying, you know, oh, Obama's he's a Muslim. Oh, he's also a Christian. He's also a Muslim. Right. He's also a Christian. It's like, well, either one, it shouldn't have anything to do with public office. Yeah. It's ridiculous. If somebody, you know, every time I hear a politician say, my faith is what grounds me, I'm like, hey, you're primitive. You're a hopeless primitive.
Well, there's S.E. Cupp liked that George. Do you guys know who S.E. Cupp is? She's just
the two girls one guy?
She's this pundit that I think is a Colbert character who's pretending to be atheist and arguing for the Bible, arguing for religion.
She's a Christ troll.
It's sickening. And my prediction is that S.E. Cupp will – her next book will be Finding My Religion, currently losing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
She's so insidious. It's so fucking horrific. And that's what she says. She says that she liked that – and she claims she's an atheist. She was comforted by the fact that Bush could go to a higher power for answers and understanding.
Right.
I said this earlier.
That's not a fucking atheist, by the way, for the fucking record.
George Bush is a born-again Christian, and of course being a born-again Christian means that everything that happened before he became born again never happened. So he's not guilty for anything that he did in his life before he was born again.
Nice.
It's a complete cop-out on reality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I do
think it's posturing for a lot of people. I think it's just basically, you know, playing the top 40 records for a lot of politicians. There are some that I think they really do believe it. There were definitely some people. There are people amongst the neocons. No way Rumsfeld or, Cheney are those kinds of Christians. Yeah. There's a few in that pack.
Yeah. Marr believed,
but the rest of it is it's just demographics.
Marr believed and argued that Obama was an atheist or some variation there. Obama convinced the atheist community that he was one of them, and the non-believing community.
You know, you bring up
atheists.
an interesting point.
It's encouraging it's very, that he's
very,
using that.
But it's a very I learned this recently. I've spoken with some people at some of these conferences to really get into this issue. But in Black America,
mm-hmm.
it's a different ball game when you're talking about atheism and you're talking about church and talking about all those kinds of things. It has a different place in their cultural identity, yeah. a different place in their immediate lives.
Remember the civil rights protests were church based.
Yeah, and it's particularly challenging for Black Americans. I guess I would mean African-American Americans.
Yeah.
Would that be right?
That is right.
In Africa, they're called African-African Americans.
African-American Africans.
This is all gold.
Well, that's interesting. I mean,
and
I just,
by the way,
I just think
Provenza does not call them that
Obama,
ever.
So, I mean, Obama may in fact...
What now? Say nothing.
I said Provenza does not call them that ever. I don't know why he's being so
PC.
Here's
the thing I'm not sure if it's racist is that I want to replace that word with president or presidential.
That's like, exactly right.
It's very presidential or, you know, this.
President,
please. So a couple of presidents come up next to my car. And,
President, please.
Brad Nelson calls them neighbors. That's his thing.
Neighbors,
oh,
yeah.
Fucking
damn
neighbors.
Neighbors.
Goddamn neighbors.
That's close to what my father calls them.
But so that, so when you bring up Obama, you know, I mean, he's a very bright guy. You know, I believe that he really does walk the walk. I'm not real cynical about him, but I just don't believe he can do anything within that system.
I just wish he was a socialist.
No, that's what I think.
And
I just feel that climate change specifically is a problem. That people are using religion as a bulwark against doing it.
Yeah,
dude. Well, they're doing that across the board. Right. I mean,
super
using
quickly.
Religion in every facet of policy.
Hey, I just read this really quick today. One of the politicians, I think a congressman or something from Missouri, I believe it was. He is. They were talking about more coal-fired plants in his state, and he said that he's not worried because God will grant mankind all the natural resources that they need forever.
Unbelievable.
And ever.
Unbelievable. And therein lies the biggest fucking problem with religion. Gentlemen, I want to thank everybody who came in here today. I want to thank Paul Provenza, Blaine Kapach, Dana Gould. Guys, thank you so much for taking part in this with
Thanks
me.
Thanks for having us.
The forbidden fruit is knowledge.
Isn't that the last line in Soylent Green?
Forbidden fruit is knowledge!
I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
Thank you very much, Emery.
And Johnny Dam of New Dissident Radio for having us in here. It's really a pleasure to be part of the family. That's it for episode one. I'm your host, Emery. And our co-host,
Heather Hendersonville.
Episode one, no hope.
Tune in next week, where my guests will be Matt Kirshen, Glenn Wool, and James Inman. We'll be talking about UFOs, ghosts, and the end of the world. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio.
Back for Inman.
Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection. Thank you to Ben Edwards for the music.
I'm coming.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.